You're right. I was just silly. What I need, you to light the candle. Okay. Right, so here we go. That's just lovely. That's one. Down you come. Let's take you down first. That's great. Lovely. Oops. Next one. Thank you. Down you get. Oh, up we come. Right, this is one for you and one for Anna. Okay? This is the second week we've had a big sister lighting two candles. One for you. Oops. Here we go. That's it. Lovely. Down we get. Lovely. Cute. Off we go. Thank you. So let's join together to sing four verses of our Advent carol. So soon we shall celebrate the birth of Jesus, worshipped with love, joy, peace, and hope in our hearts. And we are reminded of the words of the angels. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be hope for all people. So let us pray. O Holy One, as Christmas draws nearer, there is a sense of excitement in the air, and we can feel joy in our lives and see it around us. For some, this is not an easy time, but help us to have joy that is more than happiness, joy that depends on you, and help us, filled with your joy, to share it. Lord, we pray. Amen. And listen to these words from the psalmist. Listen to us, O shepherd of Israel. Hear us, leader of your flock. Seated on your throne above the winged creatures, reveal yourself. We join to sing, come and join the celebration.
Come and join the celebration.
Have a seat. We join together to pray. Let us pray. You, O Bethlehem, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth the one of peace. God of eternal love and timely surprises, we gather in anticipation, looking forward to the day when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of good news. For no matter how little or unlikely something may look or feel, you can work through it and in it and with it to bring forth new hope and peace. So we give you thanks and praise, and we trust you will help us to anticipate new surprises, even among us and with us. Why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For the child in my womb leapt for joy. God of eternal love and timely surprises, we gather in anticipation, shaken by the news that you will come to us with such life, awakening within us all that is waiting for you, all that longs to unite with you. For no matter how sleepy or settled or suspicious we may be, you surprise us again and again if we would let you. For you are God of outrageous love and generosity. So we praise you. Amen. 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 We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory. Oh, God, if looks could kill that poor child.
Can you hear? You can. Good. Right. I've got something in this bag down here, and I don't quite know what to do with it. Would you like to get it out for me? Can you hold it right up so that everybody can see? Now, I really don't know what to do with it. It's been sitting on my shelf for quite a long time, and it might be something I don't want. Or something I don't like. I don't know whether to open it or not. I thought I might perhaps take it home again and save it till next year. What do you think? What do you think I should do?
Open it.
You think I ought to? Well, I don't know. I mean, it looks a bit sort of... Oh, sorry? Right, so somebody take some... Can you take some tinsel off for me? Just pull. Oh, it's quite well stuck, isn't it? Right. Thank you. I think I'll take the paper off. I'm a bit nervous, you know, I don't really know. Let's see, we'll rip that off. I wonder what's inside. I'm getting quite a... Oh. That doesn't look very interesting, does it? Looks a bit scruffy. I think I'll take it up. Perhaps I'll throw it away on the way home, shall I? What? No? You think there's another level? Well, perhaps I'd better investigate then, hadn't I? I wonder. Oh. Look what I've got. Wow, I'm so glad I opened it. Chocolate, yes. And oh. There are lots and lots inside. So, what do you think I should do with this? What, all for me? Share them. I think that would be a really kind thing to do. Especially as we're coming up to Christmas. Here comes the moral. When we share the good news about Jesus' birthday. So we can share some sweets and perhaps we could tell people and share the news about Jesus. So we'll say to the grown-ups, we're going to take these out to the hall. If there are any left, do come out with your we'll leave you some with your coffee.
The other bit in the story is the number of times. What am I going on? The number of times and ways in which the full extent of what's in the parcel, we don't unwrap it, we don't explore it, we keep it wrapped up. Yeah? And there are Christians who only get as far as this. Yeah? And they don't get as far as this. And there are loads of people who need to know that it is good news. Right, what we're singing, Nigel? God is love, is the care. Let's join to sing. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Where's Esther? The book of Micah alternates between themes of judgment and restoration. The book is set at the times of the Assyrian attacks on the northern kingdom, 8th century BC, and it is evident from Matthew 2 that these verses were taken seriously as prophecy about the Messiah. And that the early church felt the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem was part of the establishment of who he was and his claim to fulfill this promise. Barbara Fielding will read this passage to us.
The reading is from Micah chapter 5. I'm sorry. Verses from 2 to 6. The Lord says, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times. So the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the woman is to give birth to her son. Then those Israelites who are in exile will be reunited with their own people. When he comes, he will rule his people with strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of Lord God himself. His people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness. And he will bring peace. When the Assyrians invade our country and break through our defenses, we will send our strongest leaders to fight them. Amen.
Amen. The presentation of the conceptions and births of John the Baptist and Jesus as an intertwined story is only told in this way by Luke. So we have these two expectant mothers, Mary and Elizabeth, and the meeting between them, and the two women sharing overwhelming joy that the promises of God are being fulfilled. And Elizabeth encourages Mary, identifying her as the mother of my Lord, and saying that she is blessed by God. Here it is. Christine Thompson will read this passage to us. We've all been there. And so long as you don't tell them all about your circular tour early on Tuesday. Thursday.
Soon afterwards, Mary got ready and hurried off to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby moved within her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and said in a loud voice, "You are the most blessed of all women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why should this great thing happen to me, that my Lord's mother comes to visit me? For as soon as I heard your greeting, the baby within me jumped with gladness. How happy you are to believe that the Lord's message to you will come true. Mary said, "My heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God, my Saviour. For he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. His name is holy from one generation to another. He shows mercy to those who honour him. He has stretched out his mighty arm and has scattered the proud with all their plans. He has brought down mighty kings from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has kept the promise he made to our ancestors and has come to the help of his servant Israel. He has remembered to show mercy to Abraham and to all his descendants forever." Thanks be to God.
Amen.
If you've ever thought you would like to read, ever thought you could be doing that, Derek Windsor is the person for you to speak to. Derek, could you wave your hand, please? Thank you very much. Speak to Derek. Volunteers are unexpected but delightful. Small, but a big witness. Two stories. These are both readings about small people, small, insignificant figures, insignificant places being forced into the centre of the world stage. I have to say that for me, one of the great things about being a minister of the United Reformed Church is the fact that you are always a small player. It's good for the soul, and it's great in terms of ceremonial workload. Nobody thinks that we are anybody, so let's just quietly get on in our way and leave the important people to make their impression. Hooray, I say. But I know that there are some of you, when I say this, your hearts are wilting. We need to make an impression on the town, you are thinking. We need people to be talking about us, you are thinking. Yes, we do, but for the right reasons. We want to be the sort of community that people know is rock solid and living out what it says it believes. And a wee sideline to this is that those times when we are rude to one another, people talk to people, and it harms our witness. We want to be people not known for being flash or quick or spectacular, but for rock solid virtues like love, mercy, working for justice, welcome, kindliness. Anyway, the small and the humble are pulled to the centre of the stage in these two readings. The small town, the ordinary woman, you might even call her a girl. Bethlehem, you are one of the smallest of towns. Mary, we know her name, we know that she was promised in marriage, and we know that God views her as favoured. We also know that in both instances, somehow, God would be at work. I was once in the conversation with two women who did not know that, at one stage in their lives, they did not know that Jerusalem was an actual place. They knew about the heavenly Jerusalem that they were going to go to when they died, and that's what they thought Jerusalem was. And they They now knew that Jerusalem was a real place, but for a phase they didn't know. And just before we get all smirky and looking down our noses at others and their naivety, there is an issue about us with our little town of Bethlehem and disassociating it with Bethlehem as it is today. Bethlehem, in the time of Jesus, was a besieged city. The Romans were in charge. In the time of Jesus, people were there, moved there, because they had to be counted like they were cattle. Today, Bethlehem has almost 20,000 refugees who lost everything in 1948 when the State of Israel was established. These people live in three refugee camps waiting for a just solution. Today, Bethlehem is still a besieged city, surrounded on three sides by a 25-foot-high concrete wall. And if Jesus was born today, it would have been with a great deal of difficulty that he would have got through the gates. And chances are he would not have made it to the stable. He would have been born at a checkpoint. Frightened people do daft stuff. And the Magi would not have got in. And the shepherds might have got there, depending whether they were inside the wall or outside of the wall. What does good news mean in that circumstance? Reverend Dr. Mitri Raib is the pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem and the president of the DR Consortium, one of the leading Christian organizations in Palestine, and says, "So where is the gospel in all of this? The good news is this. God came into no other than this troubled, wounded, and real world. He is real and wants to enter into our real world with all its complexities and fears. Christmas is real. It is not a myth or a wonder world. The gospel is that God became one of us, one like us. He came as a child, vulnerable and weak, and yet through his vulnerability was able to overcome the empire. Christmas is God's promise to us that we will have life, peace, and future. For us Palestinian Christians and the citizens of Bethlehem, the Christmas story of then is our story today. Praise God that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." These are expensive words. They can't be bought in a shop. They have no tinsel or sugar covering them. But they are inspiring words of a gospel that is heard through people who are suffering. Mary speaks her political words. They do not have sugar over them either, and there is no sound in the background of jingling bells. She would learn what these words meant in her life. It would be a mighty king who would order the execution of her son. She would know what it was to be among people who struggled to feed themselves each day. And today, could a young woman be a witness? Could a lone young woman have such impact? Well, obviously not the same as Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, but to inspire and to change a worldview, then yes, certainly true. The story of Leah Nathan Sharabu, who was one of the 110 schoolgirls kidnapped from Dapchi in Nigeria by the militant jihadist group Boko Haram. They kidnapped 110 girls. They released 104 girls. Five girls were killed in the whole horrible thing. They've kept one girl, this girl Leah. And they have kept her because she's a Christian. And they have said that they will never release her. And she has said, I know nothing of Islam, so why would I convert? And in a radio interview, her father, Natta, said, they gave Leah the option of converting, but she said, she will never become a Muslim. I am very sad, but I am also jubilating too, because my daughter did not denounce Christ. These are expensive words too. The gospel is good news. It is not easy news. It is not cheap news. It is not cheap, sweet, nice. It changes everything and gives us life in all its fullness. And you and me? I do not believe that it is our responsibility to, as Christian people, to irritate our neighbours just so we can chuck in the name of Jesus. I do not believe that is our responsibility. I do not believe that we are called to whine about how tough life is. I do not believe that is joyful either. But I do believe that it is our responsibility, when somebody says something, to be looking for appropriate opportunities to speak the good news. And when somebody says something disrespectful about the weakest, the small people, says something that we know is wrong in terms of race or gender issues, it is our responsibility as followers of Jesus to find appropriate words to speak our truth. And brothers and sisters, I think we've got to be careful. I think we've got to get away from speaking in cliches. I think we've got to get away from assuming that people will know our truth, and that people will give us a space for our truth. We have to earn the right to share it. But I think the speaking of our truth is a call on our lives. We have received, as Mary says we would receive. And God has kept God's promises with us. And God has remembered to show us mercy. And we need to be thankful for that. And we need to find ways to tell others that this is good news for them too. So let us be still. And then we will pray. Restore, O God of hosts. In fact, restore even us. Let our faces shine. Let our mouths speak. Let our feet move. Let our ears listen intently to the cries of others. Restore us, O God, restore us all, and let your advent among us encourage us to embody our faith in you. And to walk the way of Jesus every day. Living God, teach us to live life in its fullness. Lord, we pray. Amen. So the third hymn we're going to sing is John Fisher hunted this hymn down. I'm up for, if you hunt a hymn down that you think maybe I don't know, maybe we could sing, please tell me about it. So we join to sing The God We Seek Beyond All Thought. We join to pray. Let us pray. We come to you pouring out our hearts, longing for your wisdom and grace. But we struggle with the world's violence and that makes it hard for us to rejoice. How can we rejoice when children are turned into soldiers, as young men and women into suicide bombers, and mothers into objects of war? We bring you our pain and the pain of others. The brokenness of hearts and the brokenness of communities. We bring you our longing and the longing of your children. We bring you our gentleness, our wearied efforts to live by your peace which surpasses all human understanding. We bring you the pain of those who have shopped too much, and those for whom January will bring a crashing weight of debt. We bring you the sorrow of those for whom Christmas is a time of reunion with people that they don't really like. And those who suddenly find that they're on their own. For those for whom this is a time to remember those who are no longer with them on the earth, and we bring their sorrow. Lord Jesus, help us to trust in your advent, to rejoice as that you, as you come into your world day by day, that we will never cease being people who pray. And we will learn to rejoice in peacemaking and peace living, and to celebrate times and ways in which we may be a voice that speaks for justice and to tells out your good news. Give us the lives, Lord Jesus, that speak more powerfully, but also give us the words. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let us continue in our worship as we make our offering.
Dear Father, the joy of discovery, that moment when hope and expectation met by the light of one bright star, we cannot imagine what the visitors felt. Messiah, Saviour, King, all contained in one small baby, born in a stable. Yet they saw and fell down on their knees in adoration. Lord, they saw you and you knew who you were. As we meet around the Advent wreath, draw us into that stable in our thoughts. In the quiet moments of prayer this Christmas, bring alive to us the smell of the hay, the sound of the animals, the cry of a baby, as we bring not gold, frankincense, or myrrh, but the gift of our lives, the only offering we can bring. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.
Join to sing, Tell Out My Soul, the Greatness of the Lord. If you're left thinking, oh, we haven't sung my favourite carol yet, good news, brothers and sisters. At the 11:30, literally, that's what we're going to do, sing carols, and you or the congregation there will pick them. Tonight, Carols by Candlelight, Once in Royal at the beginning, O Come All Ye Faithful at the end, you're most welcome. O Holy Night, right at the end of the Carols by Candlelight. And we've already sung it. Yes, we have. And now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God at this season and forevermore. Amen.